If you would again, please, and turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to reread for you verses 23 and 24 as we begin this month and for upcoming months an exegetical consideration of our instructions in a little deeper way than what has been our normal custom month by month. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23-24, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." Father, it is good for us to come that we might draw near to you, that we might put our trust in you, that we might tell the truth of Christ one to another, and then from this place out into the world. Help us for the next few moments as we think upon the words of our instruction, that we might know that unique wooing of thy Spirit to deal with our own personal case before thee, so that we can be wholehearted and joyful participants in this, the table of our Lord, and that together we can raise the testimony of Christ in the gospel, as is clearly your intention. Again, we thank you for the privilege, and we thank you for each person that is here today. We pray in Jesus' name and for his blessed sake. Amen. As we begin to study the verses of our instruction just a little bit more deeply than is usual, it's important, I think, to start with the fact that neither Judas nor Saul of Tarsus was in the upper room with the 11 other disciples when the ordinance of the Lord's table was instituted. Judas, of course, as you know, was the unsaved betrayer of our Lord, who died by suicide shortly after the Lord's crucifixion. Saul, also referred to as Paul, was, of course, yet to be saved on that night in which the Lord Jesus took bread and then the cup and gave it to his disciples with new meaning. Paul, of course, was later on saved, as recorded in Acts chapter 9. Paul was not only saved, of course, but called to be named and to be numbered as an apostle of Jesus Christ. When Paul rehearsed the post-resurrection appearances to the apostles, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he spoke of Christ saying, "And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." Paul also said that he was unworthy to be so named and numbered with the apostles, but indeed was what he was by the grace of God. Paul spent an entire extended period with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the resurrected Lord, in the Arabian desert soon after his conversion, as referenced in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 17. I think in the Acts 9 testimony, you can find the place in the middle of a verse where Paul spent some considerable time, we're talking months, not days, where Paul spent some significant time in the Arabian desert. You can put the finger on it in Acts chapter 9, but it's in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 17 where Paul tells us of this time in his life after he had come to know the Lord, after he had been baptized, that he indeed is spending personal time with the resurrected Lord in a very remote place. I take it that it was during that period where Paul received, as it were, the instructions of the Lord personally relative to his apostolic ministry. And that means that Paul's understanding of the Lord's table came directly from the Lord Jesus Christ during that period of instruction in the Arabian desert. Thus we have in verse 23, Paul saying, I have received of the Lord. Paul is claiming in the very first line of our common instructions, direct revelation concerning the thing that we do every month. Personally received, I have received of the Lord. The phrase introduces us to the first of a series of guiding principles that can be gleaned from the study of these common instructions. We'll begin the guiding principles today and we'll wrap them up in months to come. But we begin with guiding principle number one. The Lord's table is a priority remembrance. Again, that first phrase, for I have received, I, Paul, have received, and I say in the Arabian desert, of the Lord. What makes this a priority remembrance is that these instructions and this table came directly from the Lord's own initiation and communication with the apostles, not only on the night of record before crucifixion with the 11, but here, as Paul gives it to us, as the Lord facilitated that same sense of authority in his life in what we assume the Arabian desert. The Bible-minded local church only recognizes two official Christ-commissioned ordinances or practices in connection to faith in Jesus Christ. First is believer's baptism. It's a one-time thing in which personal testimony is raised and the gospel is, of course, preached in the testimony that is raised. The second thing is, of course, this, the table of the Lord, which is a perpetual thing within the local church, not a one-time thing, but a perpetual thing in which believers preach together the gospel and review their own testimony before the Lord as in the Lord. And we are told that as often as we do this, to do it in remembrance of Him. In this particular month of March 2021, we have occasion both to celebrate the ordinance of the Lord's table on the first Sunday of the month, and on the last Sunday of this month, we will have occasion to witness the testimony of four believers in the waters of baptism. These practices are joyful and to be received with thanksgiving by the people of a local church. Communion is a priority for the family of God because the Lord said so. The Lord is the one that handed over these instructions to Paul for the benefit of the church in Corinth. Communion is a priority in the family of God on earth. Who said so? Christ. We do this in remembrance of Christ. The second guiding principle, the Lord's table is a public remembrance. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. You being plural, meaning the local church family. This instruction from the Lord was delivered to the local church for perpetual practice. It's interesting to me that the word delivered here in verse 23 is the same word translated betrayal in the gospel accounts. It literally means to hand up and to hand over into the hands of another. Judas betrayed Christ into the hands of religious authorities. Paul delivered Christ in his instructions into the hands of the local church membership. In that sense, betrayal and deliverance are spoken of as the same action of placing in the hands of another. When we say that communion is a public thing, we do not mean that it is indeed for everybody. We do mean that communion is something God's people practice together in public when gathered for worship and fellowship. We do this in remembrance of Christ. Guiding principle number three, the Lord's table is a predicated remembrance. Again, 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. We cannot hear the words of Christ taking bread without thinking about that upper room and the interaction between Christ and the disciples just hours before crucifixion. But the practice of taking bread and using bread to jog the memory flow of God's provision predates the initiation on that night of record. Unleavened bread on that night of record helped to tell the Jewish story of Passover. It helped to tell the Jewish history in Passover. The bread taken on the night of record had meaning already fixed. And that meaning that was already fixed was upon God's provision to the nation of Israel. On the night of record, as we are told in verse 23, that Jesus Christ took bread. Well, it would be that bread. Jesus took that bread and gave it new meaning concerning God's ultimate provision at the cross. When Christ spoke to Paul about these things, the meaning was affirmed as God's ultimate provision at the cross. We do this with unleavened bread in remembrance of a sinless Christ who died for our sins at the cross, the ultimate provision of God. So Christ took bread that was already dedicated to the memory of God's provision. And he took that bread and used it in order to evoke our memory of God's provision in Jesus Christ. Guiding principle number four. It comes to us from verse 24. Again, starting with 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The Lord's table is public. The Lord's table is predicated. The Lord's table is a priority in the church, to be sure. But the Lord's table is always practiced prayerfully. It was at the beginning, and it is today. The Lord's table is a prayerful remembrance. The Lord gave thanks, says verse 24. Jesus served the elements of bread and crushed fruit with prayer. There was and is to be a prayerful participation at the table of the Lord. Eating this together is to specifically and mindfully involve us before God. The recall of the sacrifice of God the Son at the cross is to be publicly practiced in a sober atmosphere of worship and wonder before God. Can't help but think of all those early years in my life when communion in the church in which I was raised was a after-the-sermon thing on a Sunday morning. I can remember sitting in the pew with my dad, who looked up at the beginning of the service and saw the communion trays, looked at his watch and said, oh no, communion. My dad, it meant that we would be in church 15 minutes extra. enough to kill a two and die maker, I guess. But 15 minutes extra, because back in the days of my boyhood, you'd have your song service, you'd have your morning sermon, and then after the sermon was done, after the service was done at 12 o'clock, the whistle blew. Everybody knew it was 12 o'clock. And then they'd start the communion service. And there were an awful lot of fidgety people every first Sunday of the month in my home church when they served communion, because of the extra 15 minutes that it would take to serve the Lord's table. Even as a boy, my soul was grieved with the hasty way that we went about doing something that the Lord had commanded His church to do. Later on, when I began to study the Word of God for myself, I came across those words of instruction to the church at Corinth. Do everything decently and in order. Which began to drive a real burden in my soul that there had to be a better way to lead God's people through this process. During my Bible college days, I attended a little tiny church start. A little church that was just beginning. We started out with only about 6 people. And within about a year's time, we had about 30 or 40 people. But I associated myself with that little church start. And while I was most often out on the weekends myself preaching other places, whenever I was home, I was in that little church. And the church had the benefit of having a couple of families that were ministry orientated, including a former professor from Cedarville College who taught history at Spurgeon Baptist Bible College named Dr. Ralph Gale. I didn't know exactly why at the first, but the pastor of that little church plant, his name was Charlie Cupperson, the pastor of the little church plant asked Dr. Gale if he would serve the Lord's table in one of the very first times in which the church family met for the celebration of it. After I experienced that, I thought to myself, if I could bring Ralph Gale to the communion hour every month at any church I pastored, I'd do it. There was just such a prayerful, careful, peaceful blessing associated with the elements of bread and cup that literally helped me and those that were worshiping with me to take my minds to Christ, take our minds to Christ. And I suppose that it was right there at that particular time that I settled in my own soul that when I got the reins of a local church, that I would seek to do it differently. And of course, you know, when you first become the pastor of a Baptist church, they have a way of doing everything. And differently, and Baptists do not go together at all. And so I couldn't do it right away. But within a short period of time, relatively, after starting my ministry on the other side of the state back in the 70s, I was able to enact a change in which we moved the Lord's table from a Sunday morning to the Sunday night, and we gave the whole hour to it so that God's people could prepare themselves with singing and prepare themselves with thinking and prepare themselves with praying. Because indeed, right from the get-go, the Lord's table was a prayerful remembrance. The Lord prayed. The Lord gave thanks. The Lord modeled for His disciples out of a spirit of worship and wonder before God. These elements were to be partaken of in testimony to God the Son, with thanksgiving to the Father, and a recognition of the power of the Spirit that flows to us and through us as the family of Christ. We can say with John that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And we might rightly add, with the Holy Spirit. We build upon these four things next month as we continue the text. But for today, let's posture ourselves as participants here at the table of the Lord in a manner that is worthy and pleasing to our Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you.